I believe that the Lord wants us to honor Him with everything that we have. We've read this verse. Love the Lord with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. For me, to be honest with you, I think that we need to do that. I need to do that. Is this a tough challenge? Yes, it is. But I believe if we can do this, we're going to be good in every other area of our lives. For me to love Him with all my heart means I need to put Him first in everything. That when we pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, that's Your will, Your kingdom before mine. Is that hard? Sometimes. But I still want to love Him with all of my heart. All of my soul. That would mean to me that there is no other thing in my life that takes the seat of God. That I worship Him alone. If you know Adam and Eve, one of their problems was idolatry. Remember when they sinned in the garden? Because Satan came and the temptation was, God knows if you eat of this fruit, you will be what? Like God. And that sin that day was to try to be like God. Well, things haven't changed, have they? Don't people today still want to be God? You want to call the shots? You want to worship yourself? Every little itch that you have, you want to scratch it? Right? Well, if I honor God and love God with all of my soul, that means Jesus has the throne of my heart. And everything else comes after that. All of my mind. The devil wants to attack your mind. Right? To have you thinking things you should not think, your mind going places it ought not go. Steve Covey, with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, great book, I love the book. In there, he said that everything has 2 creations. And you can kind of, I think it's a good picture. He said, before there's a building, before there's a skyscraper, the architect had to think of it and create it in his mind. And then put it on the blueprint, and then it was built, right? Everything is 2 creations. Before you do something, you think about it, right? You get it in your heart, you get it in your mind, and you begin to dwell. Even before you sin, you think about it. I said this at men's breakfast the last time. No man ever, like, accidentally had an affair. Oops! I tripped. Hey, bumped into you. Here's the. That doesn't happen. You don't commit adultery accidentally. You think about it. It's in your mind first. Well, if I'm loving Jesus with all of our mind, then we get to a point of saying, I will not think about that. And just like the architect who didn't, if he wouldn't think about building the skyscraper, there would end up being no skyscraper. If we would trust Jesus and honor Him and love Him with our mind, and you wouldn't think about things that are sinful and nasty, you wouldn't follow through with them, right? Because you dwell upon Him. You think about Him. You think about things that are good, as the Bible says. Think about things that are good and lovely and honorable and worthy of praise. When you do that, you're going to see your life in a different direction, right? Amen? All of our strength. It means we worship God with everything that we have. Our physical bodies, we worship Him. That you work hard for Jesus. Right? The Lord is worthy of working hard for, isn't He? And when it comes time to worship, you're not afraid to lift your hands and worship, to glorify Him. Not that it's something you do, but it's like, this is my body and I want to glorify You in it, Lord. And when it's time to get up and go to work to make money for your family, you do that, right? Because you're honoring Jesus. You're working hard with all of your strength. Do you always feel like getting up and going to work? Did anybody not feel like getting up and going to church today? Can I see your hand if you're just going to be honest? I'll start with mine. I was tired. I didn't want to get up today. I've had a crazy week. Yeah. Anybody else, you weren't, how about at any point in your life did you ever not feel like getting up and going to church, okay? And you still went. Listen, you honor God with all of your strength means you push yourself to do things you don't want to do, but it's the right thing to do. And listen, when you do that, you honor God. And He begins to work in your life. God sees that effort that you're making towards Him, and He blesses you. We honor Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love Him. That's what we must do. You must love the Lord with everything. Well, today, in society, we see people who aren't honoring God with everything. But did you know that's nothing new? That's nothing new. People don't like to honor God. They haven't ever. And in the area of sexuality, people don't honor God. We're to love the Lord and honor God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's including our physical bodies, that it's including sex. And it doesn't happen. There's a lot of infidelity. There's a lot of just nastiness out in the world. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to walk through this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And just to give you a little bit of background, in the church of Corinth, people were very sexually free. They thought, we'll do whatever we want to do, it's fine. You can go off and have affairs, it's fine. Anything you want is good. If you're married for a while, you can just divorce your spouse, especially if you were a man. You can divorce your wife for almost no reason at all. She can literally burn your toast in the morning, and you can get rid of her and go out and marry another woman. And it was just a bad deal, bad society, much like today. Today is pretty bad as well. In this culture, people were doing whatever they wanted to do. They were very sexually promiscuous, and the Apostle Paul deals with them very frankly. And we looked at last week what sex should be like in marriage and how it's God's blessing. If you missed that, you can download it on our website. But today we're going to look at the theology behind it and how the Lord was using Paul to correct their bad thinking that they inherited from the world. And that's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Anybody need a page number on that? Do you have one? Anybody? 873 if you have one of our Bibles. 873 if you have one of ours. If you have your own, that's awesome. I encourage you to bring your own Bible. I just don't know what that page number is, but that's a good thing for you to bring that. Lord, bless the reading and preaching of your word today. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 12 says, I am allowed to do anything. It says, wait, you say I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though, quote, I'm allowed to do anything, Paul says, I must not become a slave to anything. Here, they're basically, their argument was this, okay, pastor, here's the deal. We can do whatever we want. We're not breaking the law. Nobody's getting hurt. Why are you all up in our business? Why does it matter? You know, we like church, it's fine, it's good when the pastor's funny, I like it when you have good video clips, right? But don't get all up in my business here. Give me some space, don't tell me, don't preach at me. It's ironic because that's exactly what I'm doing, and exactly what God's called pastors to do. But people, don't preach at me, don't tell me. Who are you to say? Why is your truth any better than mine? I'm not hurting anybody. We're two consenting adults. It's not against the law. I can do whatever I want to do. That's basically what he's saying. Listen, it might not be against the law of the land to just not be married and do whatever you want to do. But it's against the law of God. Right? Amen? There are a lot of things that the law allows you to do, and you might not go to jail for it, but that's not what God calls us to do. As Christians, we are to live in a higher standard, right? And we're going to talk about that today. God saved us, He changed us, and we are to live on a higher plane than the rest of the world. If Jesus has come into our heart and if He's regenerated us and if He's given us a new nature and the Holy Spirit lives within, it should affect our lifestyle. In context, if you looked back at the first part of chapter 6 that we did a while ago, you can download that message as well online. Paul talks about lawsuits within the church. Lawsuits. The Christians were suing each other. Was it against the law to sue each other? No, they were in their legal rights to sue each other. But Paul says, you know, guys, why not just allow yourself to be taken advantage of and make the church look good? Why drag Jesus through the court with you over stupid little things that don't really matter? And you make the church look bad, and you make everything look bad, and you're hurting the cause of Christ just because you're within your rights. The Bible says we who are Christians are slaves to Christ. Paul says, no longer I live, right? It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And they're worrying about their rights. I'm allowed to do what I want to do. I'm a self-made man or a self-made woman. Paul says, really? Really? Not everything is good for you. Just because you're not going to go to jail doesn't mean that God loves it and God's going to honor it, right? Just because you're allowed to do anything, it says, I must not become a slave to anything. A slave to anything. What does it mean to become a slave to something? It means that you're kind of addicted to something, that you just can't stop, right? Bob, can I have a little bit more on my lapel? Because I'm kind of having a hard time here a little bit. If you're a slave to anything, that means that you can't stop what you're doing. Are there people here who are a slave to alcohol? I don't know about here, but I mean in society today, right? Yeah. Are you allowed legally to be an alcoholic? Sure, you're allowed to just go home and drink yourself to death. It's not against the law. Is it good? No. Is it freedom? I'm free to do what I want. Well, if you know, which I'm sure probably all of us have seen people who are alcoholics, they're free to drink, but is there freedom in being an alcoholic? No, there's not. It's not good. How about in the realm of sex? Are there such things as sex addicts? Absolutely. Now, there are things that are illegal, but there's a lot that's not illegal. Is that beneficial for you if you're a sex addict? No, not really. I knew a guy who, at this point, early 50s, I knew him as a young kid. You know, at this point, I remember I haven't seen him for a long time, then I ran into him again. And at this point in life, he was in his early 50s. And I remember he was always kind of a perverted guy. Thought, you know, it was cool to make comments about girls walking by. If you went to a diner, it was always the waitress was hot. Look at that. And I mean, it was all the time. Didn't see him for like 20 years. And then bump into him again. And he's still the same. He was addicted to sex. But this time it was really sad. It was really sad. Because he could have had kids way older than the girls he was looking at. I mean, they were women. They weren't little kids. But it's just really sad. Time went on. You're married. You have a loving wife at home. And all you can do is ogle a 20-year-old. That she would never give you the time of day anyway. But you're just so addicted. This man didn't know Jesus. It really kind of broke my heart. I thought, how sad. He's become a slave to this. Go-go bars, he would go and spend more money just to look. You know? Isn't that terrible? I'm so glad that Jesus changes us and changes our hearts and gives us freedom from sin. Because I want to tell you, what I saw in that man was a lonely, lonely, lonely road of living your life being unfulfilled. Because Satan's got you got everything switched around in your life and you're trying to live for things that really don't exist. And it was like the devil was sitting on his back, and kind of like you have a carrot hanging over on a stick. You know what I mean? You'd see that. You sit on a horse, put the carrot over, and he just spends his life trying to get the carrot. In the same way, you know, it was like the devil was sitting on his shoulder with a stick, and over top of it was this image of sexuality or a woman or something that was just, it was just a figment of his imagination. And he spent his whole life, and now he's dead. And his whole life was spent with lust. And he never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life changing him. Isn't that sad? And that's what was happening in the church here. And Paul's looking like, you know what? It's not okay. In the area of sex, it's not okay to just pretend everything's fine. Just because you won't go to jail for it doesn't mean it's ripe. Doesn't mean it's good for you. It doesn't mean it's beneficial for you. To be enslaved to lust or whatever it is deadly. And it's so sad. If that's you today, I want you to know that Jesus wants to help you in that sin. If you're addicted to whatever sin, even pornography, Jesus wants to save you from that and deliver you from that and help you get beyond that. Seriously, because it's destructive and it will hurt you. Their argument was, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Yeah, not really. Look at the next verse, verse 13, as we walk through this passage. You say stomach, or you say food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But Paul says, but you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made what? For the Lord. And the Lord cares for our bodies. Their next argument was, God made us this way. Don't we hear that today? I'm sexually perverse, but it's just the way God made me. You can't judge me. God made me that way. God made me to have those desires. If you got an itch, what? Scratch it. Right? And he's like, you say food for the stomach, stomach for the food. They're like, well, you know, God gave me my organs for something. I should use them. That was the argument. We're just like animals. You've heard that, right? We're no different than the rest of the animal kingdom. And Paul says, you know what? That's not exactly true. What did he say? Your bodies weren't made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. That last phrase would really be devastating to those in sin in this church. Because many of them believed different philosophies, including Gnosticism, that meant that God only cared about our spirit and He didn't care about our bodies. That God's only concern was our spirit. So we could sing a song to Him and God loved that. We can memorize Scripture and pray and focus and God loved that. But then for some, they thought we could go ahead and sin sexually and God didn't care. Because God only cared about our spirit. There are many people today who believe the same thing. Maybe they wouldn't say it, but they believe it. You've heard the stories. You've heard the stories of people who thought they can do whatever they want and God doesn't care. Does God care? God absolutely cares. Absolutely cares. Verse 14. How much does He care about our bodies? And God will raise us from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. God's going to raise our physical bodies. Don't think He doesn't care about them. He absolutely does. So why is sexual purity important? Because God cares. We honor Him. We need to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, including our body. God absolutely cares. This argument that it was just our bodies, we can do whatever we want, you know, that's much like the ideas that people have today, even in regards to pro-abortionist lobbying. I can do whatever I want. It's my body. Well, what's this passage say? It's God's body, right? No, you can't do whatever you want. God has a plan for you, and it's important for you to follow because it's a good plan. And these people, they were looking to do whatever they wanted to do. It's not against the law. God made me this way. It's my body. I can... No. The other side of Gnosticism was those people who said that anything in your physical body was bad. Right? We dealt with that last week. Not true. It's not good to have a field day, and it's also not good to say, I'm going to be married, but I'm never going to be intimate with my spouse because I want to be set aside for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7 says, that's just not true. That's not true. Sex is a gift from God, but it needs to be used in the right way. If somebody gave me a chainsaw for Christmas, that'd be an awesome gift, wouldn't it? Any men love a chainsaw? But you don't want the little one. You need the big one, right? It'd be an awesome gift. But what? You have to use it the right way, right? You have to be careful. Use it within the realms of what it should be made for. Should you go out and just begin playing around randomly, with your chainsaw and not be careful? No, you got to be careful. Chainsaws are great. Fire in your fireplace, same difference. Gift from the Lord, great. Heats up your house. Bad on your living room floor. Chainsaw's great if you got the safety gear on and you're cutting down a forest. It's bad to just leave running on the kitchen table while you're making a sandwich. Right? I want to slice my ham a little thinner. Right? You end up looking like a shop teacher because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. We want to use the gifts that God has given us, but we want to use them the way that God has for us because it's what's best for us, because it protects us. The truth is, whatever we do in our bodies is a spiritual matter. Right? Think about that for a second. Whatever we do with our bodies is a spiritual matter. If you go to the store and there's something you want you don't have enough money for and you just decide to steal it with your physical body, I take my physical hand and pick up that physical necklace or whatever, deodorant, whatever it is you don't want to pay for, and I stick it in my physical pocket, you better believe that has spiritual ramifications. Doesn't it? Whether I get caught or not, I stand before God. And it affects me spiritually. Well, sex is the same way. It has spiritual ramifications because our bodies are owned by Jesus, right? We belong to the Lord. He will raise us someday from the dead. He cares so much about our physical bodies. We should honor Him in that area. Does that make sense? Are we there? All right, moving on. Verse 15. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually the parts of Christ? Our bodies are the parts of Christ, right? So when Jesus saved us and changed us, when we become even a part of the church, the Bible says the church is what? The body of Christ, and we're parts of Christ. So think of that. You are part of the body of Christ. You've asked Jesus to change you, to save you. The next part says, should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? What do you think? If you are part of the body of Christ, is it okay to go pay for a prostitute? Paul says, never, right? How about if it's legal? Okay, it's illegal here. You can't do that here. What if you fly out to Las Vegas where it's legal? Is that okay? Right? What do you think? No. No, it's not okay. Why? Because we're a part of Christ, because Jesus changed us and saved us. Look at verse 16. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. It's like marriage. Because the sex is supposed to be the consummation of your marriage. That's how it was in the Bible days. You were married. You get married, and then when you would go in your bedroom, that made you husband and wife. It was both. It was the realm of everybody knew you were married. You'd have a ceremony and they would bless you just like it's supposed to be. But you would also have the part where you would come together as husband and wife. And you were joined together. And you're one. And the Lord would look at you when you're married. We said the Lord's math is 1 + 1 = 1. You're no longer two individual people. You're one person. Together. Do we understand it completely? No, but it's true. That's how the Lord looks at you. So think of someone who goes out and has sex with prostitutes. In some way, it's kind of like he's marrying those people. But this wasn't just those people. See, the problem that we can have in church is we can read the Bible and then look out the window and go like this. Bad sinners! Right? And we can think we're all good and clean. And we look, bad sinners. They're bad out there. We're good in here. And Paul's saying, no, you're not. You're bad in here. Out there, they don't know any better. They don't know Jesus. They're going to hell anyway. In here, you're a part of Christ. And you're sleeping around with prostitutes. Isn't that terrible? You're becoming one with them. Let's talk about prostitution. What is prostitution? Prostitution is the exchange of sexual acts for compensation. Right? Right? It's the exchange of sexual acts for compensation. The compensation can be a wide variety of things. Okay? It can be dollars. It can be you do this for this and you hand out dollars. The compensation can also be dinner. It could be, we go out on a date, I buy you dinner, and I expect something back for the dinner. And if you've done that as a woman or as a man, they just made you a prostitute. The person who did that, who demanded a sex act because they bought you a pork chop, just turns you into a prostitute. Even if you said no, this person was asking you to be their prostitute. I paid for a movie. I took you to the circus. Why can't I get a little something something? Why don't they just say, would you be, won't you be, please won't you be my prostitute? They're not going to say that, will they? Right? No, they're not going to say that. Hey, baby, did you enjoy those onion rings? And they can act like they love you and they're asking you to prostitute yourself. Prostitution is sexual acts for compensation. How about guys who go on vacation and take a woman with them? Maybe your little cruise that he's paying for, or she's paying for, it can be the other way around. That little cruise is going to make you a prostitute? Are you really willing to become a prostitute for $400 with a cruise from Sam's Club? Are you willing to become a prostitute for a ham sandwich? For a Burger King buck double? For 99 cents? It sounds funny, but it's really sad. What Paul is condemning is prostitution in all of its forms. Sex is a holy gift from God to encourage husband and wife. Be a part of their marriage that nobody knows about. It's husband and wife. It's not we go and brag. It's husband and wife. And it's sacred and holy. It's not something that you just pay for. Because it's something of value and worth. God looks at our bodies. Does God think our bodies have value? Sure, He paid the price to die for our bodies. It has value. Does sex have value? Absolutely. What do we do when we exchange it for a ham sandwich? We just degrade God. We just do. We just make a mockery of what He's done for us and who we are in Him. And the whole time, Satan is rejoicing. What if sex becomes just two friends who are bored on a Friday night? How sad to God. Now, in the world, will there be sin? There's going to be sin in the world, isn't there? And you could turn on the TV and probably even 5 years from now, it might even get nastier. Although it's probably not nastier, it's just we'll become more aware of what's going on. But whatever's going on has been going on for thousands of years. That's why God blew up Sodom and Gomorrah. It was bad then, right? Old Testament, Genesis, it was bad then. But what I want to say is what God is concerned about too is in here. And it's us. Those people that don't know Jesus, and I'm not saying there aren't Christians outside. Don't think I'm saying we're the only ones going to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for those outside of our church or any church, those that don't know Jesus, they don't know Jesus. Unfortunately, they're going to do what they're going to do. But for those who know Jesus, we ought not be engaged in these things. You don't try to make a prostitute of the one you love. Isn't that horrible? Right? Well, He loves me. He thinks we don't have to be married in the eyes of the law. So what you're saying is, He loves you enough to not commit to you. He loves you enough to get the benefits, but He doesn't love you enough for the responsibilities. Right? He loves you enough to get the in health and wealth, and while things are going good, and as long as you look hot, as long as you're fun, I'll be with you. But He doesn't love you in sickness. He doesn't love you when things are going bad. He doesn't love you when the bottom falls out financially. He doesn't love you when you get cancer and you're in the hospital. He doesn't love you when you get paralyzed. And He won't be around for that. He doesn't love you when you don't lose the baby fat. Right? Or she doesn't love you if you get wrinkles, or you lose your hair. Sorry, I just thought that'd be funny. I get wrinkles. Amber plays with my wrinkles. Dad, let me play with your wrinkles. She says, I'm like, you're not helping me, honey. Lift up your eyes so I can strum your wrinkles like strings on a guitar. I'm like, stop it, honey. We're all getting older. This idea of it's just as long as we enjoy it, just as long as we like each other, that's not the way God created it to be. And that's wrong. And it's sinful. And I pray today that if someone has made you a prostitute, that you never allow that again. And if you are pressuring somebody else, you never do that again. And if you've done it in the past, you apologize and you come before the Lord and ask His forgiveness for that because it's evil. Especially for those who call themselves Christians. Especially for those who say they're followers of Christ. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's evil. And if you don't repent, God will destroy you for it. Because unrepentant sin will keep you out of heaven. Jesus forgives all sin when we come to Him and ask Him to forgive. But if we refuse to repent, if we say, Jesus, I will repent of this and this, but I won't repent of this, that is a deadly thing in your walk with the Lord. Last verse, the person who's joined to the Lord is one in spirit with Him. One in spirit. We're united with Christ. In a sense, if you're a Christian, Jesus, you're one with Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. If you're being sexually indecent and immoral, you're taking Jesus along with you to do that. Right? That's what Paul's saying. You're one in spirit with Him. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Sinners are going to do what they're going to do. But as a Christian, if we're sexually immoral, Jesus is going with us. If you're being indecent, Jesus is going with you. And that's all areas. And what Paul is saying explicitly is that if you're going to have sex with a prostitute, you're taking Jesus along with you. That's not right. Isn't that a nasty picture? Paul painted that picture. And it's just not right. And if there's sin, we need to get that under control. Alright, so what do we do? Paul tells us what to do. The very next passage, verse 18. What? Run! Can you say run? Run! Let's try it one more time. Run! Alright, how about walk? No, run! How about jog? No, run! Right? Now, if you're in a war, which we have soldiers in the room, the bad guys are coming, there's nothing you can do, run! What do you do? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, over here, yeah, I see what you're talking about. No, you run. You run from sexual sin. Here's the picture. It's like in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph in Potiphar's house? Right? Remember? Joseph's there, single guy. The hot wife of his boss comes over and says, "Hey, baby, won't you be? I'm going to mess up that song for you for life. Please, won't you be?" And he says, "No, God forbid, you're my boss's wife." And she said, "Well, he don't know." She probably loosened up her top, hiked stuff up. She don't know. This isn't new. This has been happening for a long time. This was hundreds of years before Jesus was born. This is Genesis chapter 30s, somewhere in there. You can find the story and read it. It's right there. He says, "By no means, you're my boss's wife." Oh, come on. He'll never know. He's on vacation and I texted him and said, "Go get milk from Wawa." So we got an extra couple minutes here. Come on. No. Come on, baby. And he ran. She was coming on to him to the point where he ran. The Bible says he ran out basically naked because she grabbed his clothes off of his body and he's, "Get off of me, you freak!" And he's running. No! Right? Right? "How'd you know I was a freak? Get out of here!" Right? And he's running down the street. He's running. He's fighting to get away. He wasn't like, "I don't think it's a good idea." He wasn't like, "Hey, you know, no." He was gone. I think running is the good word. And here's the danger, okay, with anyone here. If you don't run from the sexual sin, you're prone to give in. Right? That rhymed. Pelton didn't know it. I could make out a chant. Run from sexual sin or you're prone to give in. It's just true. Right? Because if he would have stopped and had conversations, and she's saying, "Come on," and he's like, "Let me show you in the Old Testament where Moses says it's a bad idea. Right? He didn't do that. He ran. What should you do? Run. Get out of there. Deal seriously with the sin. Why? Because your bodies, what? Belong to the Lord. And He cares desperately about it. And the gift of sexuality is yours for if God should so will you get married, but it's got to be the right way or it's deadly. And God cares. And it's important. Look at verse, whatever verse is next. Let me see. The rest of it. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. No other sin so clearly affects your body like this one does. Okay? Are all sins the same? Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of in James, but no, there's a difference. Will God judge you? Sin is sin, yeah. But this sin in this area will take you to places that you do not want to go. How many people have committed murder because of sex? David in the Old Testament committed murder because of sex. How many times have people been taken advantage of because, you know, they never felt loved in their life and somebody shows up and says, I love you, when they really have a hidden agenda and they want you to do stuff for them. Right? So sex and love and acceptance are all just a carrot dangled over people's heads. You've seen the stories of even young ladies who get caught up with bank robbers. Right? Have you seen the stories? And all of a sudden they're going in to rob banks, and yet the guys who are dictating things to them know they're probably going to be arrested and they're going to leave them there. But they want to use them as a pawn to get what they really want. When we're diving into the areas of sexuality and we don't know about it, you can be committing sin after sin and making mistake after mistake. And here it says this clearly affects your body. No other sin does so like this. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Here's the big last two verses. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize that? That the Holy Spirit lives within you? If you have the New Living Version, why don't you read this last part with me out loud, okay? If we got the same version, the end of verse 19 says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You don't belong to yourself. I can do whatever I want. Well, take that up with God. Especially as a Christian. We're talking about Christians today. For those who are followers of Jesus, you don't have the right to do anything. You've come to Jesus. He saved you. He sets you free. You're a slave of Christ. You need to follow Him. Well, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Well, I got a problem with that. Good, take it up with the boss. Because one day you'll stand before Him. The one who loved you so much that He died for you. He redeemed you. He brought you out of the slavery that sin and just kept you in. You can't sit back and say, no, I'm going to do whatever I want. Not good. Not good. Sex is a gift from the Lord if it's done right. We can honor God and love Him with all of our bodies, including our sexuality, if it's done right. The bedroom should be a place where husbands and wives come closer together that nobody else needs to know. And it should be a blessing. Outside of that, it's evil. And for people who, well, we're married in the eyes of God, well, God said get married for real. So the eyes of God are flaming red. He's not sitting back saying, oh yeah. No. The eyes of God are furious at you. You got to make it right. Got to make it right. If you're committed, you're committed. If you're not, you're not. Just do the right thing, especially as Christians, right? We could point at the world and say, look what they do. And some of us, past couple weeks, have said, look what Charlie Sheen does. Charlie Sheen is the bad guy. We could point at him. Charlie Sheen isn't a Christian. We need to look at us. The Bible doesn't want you to even look at just the person next to you. He wants you to look at yourself. Say, am I right? Am I honoring God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is there areas that I need to get right with the Lord? And if so, let's take care of it. Because I believe that we love Jesus for real, right? And we worship Him for real. And if there's sin to repent of, we really repent of it. And if there's work to be done, like the bathrooms, we really work, right? And if there's honesty to be kept in our lives, we're really honest. We're just real. This includes that area as well. We're just real. We just love Jesus. And I tell people all the time, if you're not married, I'll marry you. We'll do counseling, and I'll marry you. Well, weddings are expensive. I think the license is like $10. It's not that expensive. I'll marry you for free. You can do it here, and our people will cook. Okay? So it's like instant wedding for free. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, so you want to put your desires above what God wants in your life. You can't call yourself a Christian. We'll take care of it. We'll make it right. Cost you $10. You know? But either we're going to honor Jesus or not. But you want to know something? There's blessings in honoring the Lord. And I want to walk in those, and I want you to walk in those as well. So we have a lot of places to repent of today. If it's lust, if you're looking at other people, it's time to repent. It's time to repent because the Word tells us to. Sexual morality is a big deal. Jesus said, if you have sex with somebody in your mind, if you're lusting after somebody, Jesus says in Matthew 6, I believe it is, that He's going to judge you as if you've had sex with them for real. So if there's lust in your heart, Jesus will judge you for that. If you're married and you've had lust for someone else other than your spouse, Jesus will judge you for that. And you need to repent of it. And Jesus says He counts it as if you full-blown went out and did it because in your heart you did. The world tells you you can do whatever you want. The man I told you about earlier, I know that lust was in his heart. And I know he was a sad man. And he died a sad man. If you have lust issues, you need to have Jesus help you. He will. The Holy Spirit comes within you as a believer. And even if you've been following garbage, the Holy Spirit will help you get past that. And He will break any addiction, including sexual addiction, including pornography or however else it's going down. Jesus will help you in that area. And He wants to. Because He wants to help your life get back on track the way it needs to be. He bought you with a price. Honor God. Honor God. In context, that takes us right up to where we were last week. The Corinthians said, well, in that case, let's never do it again. Let's completely live celibate lives. And that's where in context what we looked at last week, Paul says, no. Marriage is a gift. Marriage is a gift. God wants to bless you. You just need to do it right. And if you do it right, it's a blessing. If you don't do it right, it's going to hurt you. And I want to pray that the Lord will help you today. Can I do that? We're going to go and sing another couple songs of worship to the Lord. I want to pray for you. If there's sin in your life, Jesus wants to forgive you now. The blood of Jesus, listen, is strong, isn't it? The blood of Jesus is powerful. And today He can forgive you. He can wash you clean and you can leave here with a fresh start. With a fresh start. Sexual sin has been a great temptation since really early on in Genesis. It has been a great temptation since early on. Jesus knows that. That's why He's provided the Holy Spirit to help us get through this life. Last thought as we get ready to pray is this, and I'm going to pray for you in just a second. The Holy Spirit lives within you. What do you need to, if this is your area of weakness, what do you need to get past that? The Holy Spirit. Right? You need to pray and you need to begin to spend time with Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Because I'm weak here. I have a lot of bad habits in my life. I'm weak. And I need your empowerment. And He will strengthen you. And pray that every day. It's not a magical thing. This walk with God is a journey. And sometimes we can do really good and sometimes we can trip up and fall. And that's when we get up and say, Jesus, I repent of my sins again. Empower me and help me. And we start walking again with Him. And He forgives you and you keep walking. And walk a little further. Spend time with Him and He will help you. Get into the Word. He will help you. There's strength in the Word, isn't there? There really is. There really is. If you're not spending time in the Bible, you're honestly missing out. You will find strength. We bought new Bibles. They're in the back. If you're not spending time with the Lord, if you don't have a Bible that's easy to understand, we bought brand new Bibles. These are the same ones that we use here, the same page numbers, the same ones we've had. It just has a new little cover. Journeying with God, walking with the Lord. And I pray you would spend time with Him. If you have your own Bible, spend time with it. Read it. And we pray that He will encourage you and help you. Amen? Let's bow our heads at this time. Jesus, we love You today. Lord, we thank You for Your Word that we got to look into. I thank You that Your Word is relevant. Lord, I know that the Corinthian church was struggling in these areas. And Lord, it's just amazing to me that Your Word is so relevant that even today, many people have the same arguments that they had about wanting to do whatever they wanted to do and how You've even given them and made them certain ways to fulfill whatever lust they have. Lord, same arguments. But Lord, I thank You that Your Word is so true and relevant that it speaks to us today and that it speaks of freedom. That Your Word today told us why we need to honor You with our bodies. That Your Word today spoke of how You will raise us from the dead, God. How You paid for our bodies with a price. And we thank You for all of that. And God, I know today that You offer forgiveness for all those who have the sin in their lives. And I pray, Lord, today that You would extend Your hand to touch them today. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you have sexual sin in your heart, I know this is an embarrassing thing, so I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not even going to ask you to check it off on your bulletin. But what I'm going to ask you to do is right now, begin to confess that sin to the Lord. Either you've committed something, or perhaps you could have just, maybe it's lust. Maybe you thought of stuff. Maybe you have impure things. Maybe somebody's coming on to you at work or some other place in life and you kind of like it. And your thoughts are going elsewhere than your spouse. Or maybe if you're here and you're not even married, and things are going to a point where you know they shouldn't go. Right now, let's just take the next minute and confess that to the Lord as we get ready to go to worship. Hallelujah.